I was praying about tonight what to share, what to minister. And I don't know if you remember how, you know, I never know who is and who isn't going to be here for a service. So maybe you've heard the messages, maybe you haven't heard the messages, but over time we've shared about how that Satan is working to bring about division in the body of Christ. In the area of wrong doctrine, but really it's just a bunch of goofiness. But the people who embrace these things, they don't see it as goofiness. They see it as real stuff, real genuine doctrine. And, you know, the whole thing about the angels, that's still going on. And we talked about that and looked in Scripture about that. And so many other things are taking place. What's happening is, it's like Satan has mounted his attack and he is intensifying it. Now, one of the things that has happened that I've noticed, and you know, I might be alone in this, but one of the things that I have noticed is that with the increase of immigration, I don't, illegal or illegal, I don't care. Just the increase of immigration, it seems like there has also been an increase in the spiritual warfare in this country. Now, I'm not going to stand here and go through a lot of things that I could give you as examples, in part because, well, we don't want to stoke too many fires. But what's happened, what it appears to me is though the people who worship other gods, as they have come to this country, devils have followed them. And one of the reasons that this is true is because when you open a door for demonic influence, they feel welcome. So if you have people coming in here from other nations who worship other gods, their worship of those gods is basically inviting those devils into their homes. So we're seeing an increase of these kinds of things going on. Along with that, and you guys aren't dumb, and the older you are, the more you're going to be able to relate what I'm getting ready to say. Along with what I've just mentioned, has been an increased level of tolerance for all other forms of religion. Now, if you study the history of this country, not the revisionist history that's been given to us by liberals, but if you do a lot of digging and research, especially with really old history books, what you'll find is that this country was established in the name of Jesus Christ and no other God. And there was a time in this nation where you would not have seen all different forms of temples and buildings and whatever built to these other gods. In fact, you may not know this, but at one time in this country, there was great, great opposition to anything Catholic because they saw it as a form of idolatry, the worship of Mary and so forth. Now, I know anybody hearing this who's a Catholic, get mad at me, but I'm just telling you, do your history. Do your history. Well, this has increased here in the United States, where even now you'll have Christians that talk about, well, we're free to worship whoever we want. I challenge you to find a scriptural foundation for that. We have a will. And out of that will, we can choose to do whatever we want. But God has laid down in His Word standards that He expects us to follow. Even in the Old Testament, remember, He was dealing with nothing but lost people, but He laid down standards. And the Jews, yes, they got off center with a lot of the traditions and so forth that they added to the law, but they still had the law. And yes, at times, you know, God rebuked them and, you know, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But they still refused the worship of other gods. Well, today in the body of Christ, there are many believers who seem to have no problem with giving the okay for people to worship however they want to worship. And yet in the body of Christ, or rather in Scripture, we do not have anything that tells us we are to do something or anything to accommodate the worship of other gods. Now, I'm not preaching some sort of militaristic uprising in the body of Christ. You know, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we're supposed to take a stand for God. We're supposed to take a stand for Christ and for God's Word. That is what we see in Scripture. Well, you know, all this stuff that has come up, all of these different things that have hit the body of Christ, you know, all the prosperity stuff's bad enough. But when you start throwing in the elements of, how can I say this, blasphemy and apostasy and heresy and all this other, it's worse. For example, you know, the thing of angels that came up. And you have Christians today that are still defending that. Still defending the appearance of the gemstones and all this other kind of stuff. Well, the other day, got another one. And I hadn't said anything about this one. I was kind of hoping it would go away, but it hasn't. And this email came from somebody who lives in another country. And in this email, the person was sharing how, you know, it's tough for them to concentrate and so forth. And I'm paraphrasing what was said. Tough for them to study and they need to develop concentration. And someone told them, well, you know, you need to send an email to Pastor Jim Martin. You know, he might be able to help you out. And then somebody else, I'm assuming it was somebody else, told this person that they needed to practice these certain breathing techniques to help them develop focus. And, you know, this person was asking me, is this right? You know, am I supposed to do this? And then in the email, they shared how that they had studied Scripture and couldn't find anything in Scripture that seemed to contradict this breathing thing that you do to help develop and, you know, your concentration, and wanted to know, well, is it contradictory to the life of a Christian and all that? And then also went on to comment how that this is something that's practiced a lot by Buddhists, and that, you know, supposedly, historically, Buddha is the one, you know, there really was a Buddha. I mean, he died, this guy that was the Buddha. That he's the one that developed this. So, in my reply, I said, well, you know, you're contradicting yourself here. Because on the one hand, you know, you're wanting to know if it's okay, but on the other hand, you know, you're talking about it developed for Buddhists and so on and so forth. Well, now we sit here and we think, you know, boy, that sounds so silly. I mean, you know, how could anybody want to do that? You know, why would you do anything that's Buddha related or Hindu related or anything like that? Well, here's what you don't know. Well, no. Here's what you may not know. There is a practice now. It's been spreading in the body of Christ. And it's called, meditative concentration breathing. And they don't use anything about Buddha. They don't use the Buddhist name for this breathing technique. But it's the same thing. And there are people that are teaching this in churches. How that you want to get all quiet. And then they begin to describe. I'm not going to describe it because somebody hearing this is going to go do it. You don't know the kind of... And so they, you know, they teach this. And what they're doing is they're teaching the exact same thing that is taught in these pagan religions. And they're introducing it in the body of Christ, telling them this is going to be a way to help you to meditate on the Word of God and, you know, get closer to God and be able to hear Him better and so on and so forth. Well, there's a major problem with this. It's not in the Word. Now, breathing is. That was introduced in Genesis, and God breathed into Adam, okay? So yes, you're supposed to breathe. But this breathing stuff to help develop your attention and all that, there's nothing in the Word of God. Listen, if it were that serious and that important for us, Paul would have written about it. And don't forget to breathe. I mean, whatever he would have. You foolish Galatians, have you stopped breathing? I don't know. He would have, something would have been in there in Scripture, but it's not. And this stuff, not just the breathing technique, but this stuff is sweeping through the body of Christ. This, you know, it's the breathing thing here and it's the angels thing there. And it's this thing and it's that thing and it's all. How many of you remember years ago? There was a fellow came in and preached who hasn't been back since. And he started saying some very strange things. He was asking for people's dates of birth or the dates of birth. You know, oh, my child's on drugs and blah, blah, blah. You know, well, give me his date of birth so that I and the prayer team can pray over him and break the power of the stars governing his life. But we need his date of birth. So there were people in here writing down the dates of birth, you know, to give to this guy. And there were people in the church that were going home to try to find out the dates of birth of like family members. And also they could turn these in, get the powers of the stars broken over the... And on the one hand, I just want to slap silly. I wanted, because this is way back, I wanted to slap these people silly. What in the name of God is wrong with you? Where do you get this? But on the other hand, I have to understand, I choose to understand, that they just don't understand. But they were serious. And they were going to, you know, try to break the powers of the stars over their husbands and wives and children and aunts and uncles, mom, dad, neighbors, everybody else. But there's nothing in Scripture about this. Nothing. Nothing. Well, I'm thinking about all this, and it's like, you know, God, I'm not asking Him why, but I'm talking to Him about it. You know, this stuff's going on. I mean, you know, why are all these people out there, Christians now, not lost people, but Christians. You know, and what He said was, He said, they don't know My Word. They don't know My Word. I want you to see something. Look in Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Because when you get right down to it, if you know God's Word, you're not going to get caught up in this stuff. Nowhere. It won't happen if you know God's Word. In Psalm 27, look here in verse 11. Teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. What He's not asking is, teach me Thy law. He's saying, teach me Thy way. Now let's paraphrase this. Teach me the way you do things and the way you want things done. Teach me how you operate and how you want me to operate. You teach me. You teach me. I want to know your way. Because of mine enemies. In other words, now let me try to paint a picture here for you. The enemy has come in, and notice he says, teach me Thy way, lead me in a plain path. The enemy has come in and laid down his own path that looks a whole lot like God's path. And so he's standing here and he's saying, all right, at the moment, these all look pretty much the same. You ever seen those, like in kids' books and magazines, whatever? It'll be like a picture, and in the picture, it'll have drawings of, you know, like a pumpkin or like a dog or whatever. And in all the drawings look exactly the same, but all but two of them have differences or something. You understand what I'm saying? There's like a little bit of difference. You're supposed to find the two that match. But at first glance, they all match. And man, you've got to sit there and look at all this to figure out what are the two that are alike. And sometimes it's pretty hard. Well, here, it's like he's looking at these paths. His enemies have laid these paths out. And he's saying, okay, now, Lord, before I do anything, teach me Your way and lead me in a plain path. Make it plain to me your way and your path. But notice, he hasn't started walking until he stops and asks, what is your way and what is your path? But what you have in the body of Christ is kind of like what Paul wrote, you know, people with itching ears and people, you know, doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. I mean, they're giving heed to these things. A path gets laid before them, the path of the angels, and down they go. Because, why, these angels are supposed to be teaching us about God and leading us to God. Or, you know, here comes somebody with, like the breathing thing I was talking about. You know, here's the path of the breathing technique. Now, if you do this breathing technique, it's going to help you to concentrate on God. Learn to hear His voice. On and on it goes. You'll understand Scripture. Your mind will be more clear and able to receive these things. No, because you're practicing something that is pagan, your mind will be open all right. But what you hear isn't going to be from God. But by the time you've done all this breathing stuff, you're going to make yourself half dizzy and you won't know if it's God or the devil talking to you. I'm serious. Do you understand there's such a thing as oxygen intoxication? Did you know that? That if you breathe, you can do this at home. Don't do it while you're driving. If you breathe real hard and real fast and real deeply, you can start feeling giddy. Now, it doesn't last very long. But that's oxygen intoxication. In fact, did you know that pure oxygen is a poison? A lot of people don't know that. That what you breathe right now, that's not pure oxygen. It's a mixture. And this breathing thing, you know, there's a path right here. So people, you know, head on down that path. And David, you know, in this, he's writing, he says, look, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. And he says in verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So in other words, if I don't know if this breathing thing is of God, God, is this one of your paths? If I don't know if this angel thing is of God, God, is this one of your paths? And I'm going to sit here and wait until I get an answer. But he says, teach me your way. Now let me ask you a question. If you want to know God's ways, what's one of the best ways to do that? Get in the Word. Get in the Word. I remember one time there was a minister. Well, the Break the Power of the Stars person. And another thing that he was what he did was when he was praying for somebody for their healing, he was waving his hand over them saying, I mix your blood with the blood of Jesus. I mix your blood with the blood of Jesus. I got news for you. You can't do that. I don't care what you say. You can be weird all you want. And I'm not... That wasn't very nice, but... you can't do that. It's not in Scripture. Well, anyway, you know, I talked with this person about that. And what they told me was that I did not know much about spiritual warfare. And I said, well, I beg to differ. Now, these weren't the exact words and all. I said, but I do know a lot about spiritual warfare because my approach to spiritual warfare is based upon what I see in Scripture that Jesus and the apostles did. If I see them do it, that is what I do. Therefore, I know a lot about spiritual warfare. But see, people that get off on all these tangents or all these paths, they get on into all this kind of stuff where you've got to, you know... You know how when people they buy a house and they go through and they anoint the doorpost to keep the devils out? Christians now. Well, we need to go in and do spiritual warfare. Oh, well, listen, I can understand going in because, yeah, you don't know what all kind of stuff went on beforehand. No problem, go in the name of Jesus. This house belongs to the body of Christ now. So whatever took place before does not take place from this point on in the name of Jesus. You know, we declare this to be holy ground. Every place that our foot treads on belongs to us, so on and so forth. But just going through the house and putting oil on the doorposts, the doorways of the house, it doesn't cause the devils to run in fear. And yet there are people that, and there are Christians, they'll have the pastor and half the church come over and go through the house and, you know, lay, put oil on. I mean, then you just got dirty doorways. Oil stains all over it. Now, I know I'm kind of poking fun, but the thing is, there's stuff that goes, you can't see that in Scripture. You know where they get that? Back in Exodus, where God said, take the blood and put it on the doorpost, all right? So if you're going to do it the way Scripture says, you got to go kill something and put the blood all over the place. And I don't think, I think we have laws against that here in this country. But you've got people that do all these things. Well, if you get into the Word of God, then God's going to help straighten you out. Because there are a lot of these things that are going on that people that you can't find in the Word of God. Now, here's part of why I'm sharing this. There are a lot of folks all over this world that log on to our website and listen to these messages. Because in this room here tonight, there may not be one person who would be drawn in to any of this stuff. I hope there's not. But as time goes on, more and more things are going to be introduced to the body of Christ by the devil. See, it's kind of like he'll introduce something to kind of test the waters to see how far I can get away with this. And if this works, well then, all right, let's introduce this one because now we've got a foothold. And now, let's get some of you other devils, come in here, introduce this other thing into them. Like, for example, go back to this breathing technique. The seducing spirits and the devils that brought in that doctrine, they did not introduce it to Christians as something that was Buddhist. They presented it as something that would help. Something that would be of benefit. And so somebody, somewhere, they started doing this, and they started feeling something. It's like, wow, my mind got clear. And so, now church, I got revelation from God. And then they begin teaching this. Now, I don't know of this happening, but it wouldn't surprise me if in congregations, they teach people, and the people in the congregation start doing this. And, you know, maybe dim the lights or something. I mean, I don't know. But these things are increasing in the body of Christ. And that's exactly what God said would happen. Paul warned us about this, that in the last days, people would begin to turn away from the truth. Here's the thing. If you honest to goodness know the truth, I mean know it, not just have read the Bible, but I mean know it, you're not going to start embracing all these weird things. Reading the Bible, memorizing the Bible, and being able to quote it does not mean that you know truth. Now, let me show you something. Look over in Matthew. I'm sorry, Matthew. Chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is speaking, and in verse 24, he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, I want to, you know, I've used this passage before to teach for different things, but I want to use it again tonight, a little bit different perspective. You've got people here building a house, two people. Now, you'll notice that they're both at the same place when they're building their house. The one's building it upon the rock, the other's building it upon the sand. What is sand? Fragmented rock. Sand is fragmented rock. Because if you take the sand and put it all together, I mean, if you could, you know what you'd have? A rock. Sand is not dirt. Dirt is dirt. Sand is sand. Sand is fragmented rock. So, here you have somebody, and they have, you know, in their hand, sand. But sand is fragmented rock. Now, how do you get fragmented rock? You take a rock and smash it. Break it into pieces. Break it apart. The only way you can get sand is if you refuse to leave a rock intact. Now, he says when you build your house upon the sand, the storm is going to come. So here are these guys, they built their house, okay? I don't know if you've ever been to beaches, but some beaches, lots of sand, but then over here you can have like all these rocks that have been deposited. And then, you know, more sand. And then what they'll do is many times bring in more rocks and add to the ones that were already there to form a breaker for the waves. So, you know, you can have this one guy with his house on the rock, the other guy with his house on the sand, and they're coexisting for who knows how long. He just said the winds and the storm and so forth come in. He didn't say how long these houses stand, but they both built a house. They both built a ministry. They both built a church. They both built something. And Jesus says, look, if you build your saying or your life, everything about you on what I have said, then everything you build is going to be built upon the rock. Not a fragmented rock, but a rock that is solid and will support you and will see you through. Well, when we build our house, our lives in Christ, on the rock of His sayings, then we can't fragment this book into little bitty pieces and say, okay, now I'm building my house. Doesn't work that way. Because if you take, let's just for the sake of it, let's say that if we break this apart, we'll have 66 pieces, okay, 66 books, all right? Well, there are 66 books in here for a reason. They're interconnected. They're all a part of one rock, okay? But if I break it apart, now I've got 66 pieces, 66 little, you know, grains of sand. And if I try to build my life and ministry on just one of those, it cannot support me through life. You see what I mean? I'll have a degree of support, but it won't be the full support that I need. And it's possible that if I take just one of these books, you know, it doesn't matter, just take one of them, I'm not going to get the full image of what God wants me to get a hold of when it comes to how to live for Him. Case in point. I mixed your blood with the blood of Jesus. And we find that where? Well, in the Old Testament, it talks about mixing blood, okay? But you fragmented Scripture, because once the blood was shed, it was the blood of Jesus. I mean, and we do what with that? Why would we contaminate the blood of Jesus with my blood? Now, I'm, you know, figuratively speaking, okay? When we take the Word of God and leave it intact, it's going to support us through everything. And when I was thinking, you know, along these lines about all these things happening, and God said, they don't know my word. They flat out don't know my word. Well, one of the things, you know, again, the Holy Spirit, He's been sent to us to help us to understand the word of God. So why would I substitute praying in the Spirit, where He's going to teach me all things? Why would I substitute praying in the Spirit with some breathing technique? Why would I do that? Sit there and flare my nostrils, and you know, that's not going to work. Why would I want to depend upon an angel to bring me revelation? Why would I want to run here and there and to and fro for every wind of doctrine that comes along? And there where Paul writes about that, you know, every wind of doctrine and the sleight of hand and cunning craftiness, and men are, you know, waiting to deceive. One of the things you have to understand, that a lot of these men that are waiting to deceive, they don't know they're waiting to deceive. They're so deceived, they don't know they're waiting to deceive. So when, you know, preacher Bob stands up and begins teaching the congregation this new revelation of how to breathe so you develop your concentration on God and so on and so forth, he thinks he is helping these people get closer to God. But it's just another wind of doctrine. It's just another religious substitute for the genuine. It's just another fragmenting of the rock. If you look over in the passage, some verses just seem to be standard platforms, for your walk in Christ. Over there in Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture, not the fragmented rock, but all Scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You wouldn't need correction if there wasn't something wrong somewhere. See this? Now, why is that so? Why is verse 16 so? Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Where is this thorough furnishing taking place? Spiritually. I'm thoroughly furnished spiritually. Now, if I'm doing this, verse 16, all Scripture, it means I can't leave anything out. God gave it all to us. It is part and parcel of the whole. All of it. I can't leave. Even things in the Old Testament, there are some denominations, they almost have nothing to do with the Old Testament anymore. But all Scripture is given by God. All of it. And as I begin to allow all Scripture to work in my life, then what happens is all Scripture begins reproving, correcting, so on and so forth, establishing me. The problem is, if I've made myself totally dependent on man for my use of and understanding of all Scripture, then my limit or my understanding and comprehension is going to be limited by what man understands. You with me? So, let's say that I choose to let man be my teacher. And there are teachers, we understand that, and Ephesians talks about that. But if I choose to solely limit myself to the structure I'm in, and the man or men, teachers in that structure do not believe in praying in tongues, then what's happened is I have limited myself based on their own limitations. But if I listen to them, but then turn around here and embrace the teacher of teachers, the Holy Spirit, all limits have been removed. And now I'm going to have access to the comprehension of all Scripture in a way I never had before. And this is so very critical, because if you take the Word of God, all Scripture, and you're in it, and you're praying in the Holy Spirit, then what happens is the Holy Spirit begins to tie everything together. Look, a lot of people that say they pray in tongues don't. A lot of people that say, I pray 6 hours a day. They don't. Because you can't pray 6 hours a day, day after day, day after day, day after day, and stay goofy. You can't. One of two things happens. The Holy Spirit, convicts you of something that's going on, a wrong belief, whatever it is, and you just stop praying, or you change. And I guess in a way this is kind of frustrating. It's like for some Christians, Spirit-filled Christians, it really doesn't matter what they hear or what they see in Scripture about praying in tongues. They flat out just don't accept it. They just don't buy into it. Well, okay. Maybe you don't like my style of delivery. That's all right. There are a lot of Christians probably don't like the way that I minister. And they prefer somebody else's style. Everybody's different. That's okay. But why would you reject what the Bible has to say? Because when you read the Bible, that's your style. That's in there. Why would you reject what the Bible has to say? If you don't want to hear it from me, or you know, don't like the way I say it, or what all, okay. But why turn your back on Scripture? And there are Christians out there, Spirit-filled, that believe that they can get everything they need, no matter what, without praying in tongues. They don't need it. I'm talking Spirit-filled Christians. We're not even going to talk about the ones that aren't Spirit-filled. I mean, my goodness, you know, it's just amazing to me how that there are some believers so very hard-hearted. You know, every now and then, you know, it's very, very rare, but I get contacted by a student in the Bible college that they completely refuse to accept what is taught in TH-101, TH-102, and TH-103. TH-101 is where we confirm from Scripture that the gifts of the Spirit are still in operation today. TH-102 and TH-103 are where we explain what praying in tongues will do for you. Now, if you've never taken these courses, you need to understand, we fine-tooth comb Scripture. And by the time we're done, you don't have a leg to stand on unless you are completely rejecting. And it's amazing how many times that when somebody wants to get into a discussion with me about this, they try to correct me. Now, I'm not saying I know everything, okay? I'm teachable. But they're trying to correct me about what's in Scripture. And you guys know how I work. You know, I take them back to Scripture. Okay, well, what about such and such and thus? Inevitably, they completely ignore the Scriptures that I have referred them to, and they go back to the teachings they've had from their past using no Scripture at all. This happens not over and over, but every time it's happened, the pattern's been the same. Well, this goes back to all Scripture. They're refusing to accept all Scripture. Now, if you refuse to accept all Scripture, then what you're doing is you're fragmenting the rock. And you're trying to build your life on something that can't support you. Now, here's what we have in the body of Christ. We have one great big beach. A lot of rocks and a lot of sand. And you've got a lot of Christians that are building their house on these rocks. And you've got a lot of Christians that are building their house on the sand. Both houses look great. Both houses have been built to code. All the electrical, all the everything, plumbing, and all, built to code. Everything's fine. And both houses are there for a long time. But the storm is coming. Now listen. There's a greater prophecy in this passage over there in Matthew that we read than what a lot of people want to understand. There is a spiritual storm that is building in this world right now. It is going to hammer the body of Christ. Because when he was talking about, you got these people building their house, he's talking about people in the body of Christ. They're both building their house. And so here we are, we're building our houses, and our houses have been here for a long time. And because they've been here for a long time, we believe they're stable. Have you ever seen images of the storms that blow through California sometimes on the coastline? You got those big multi-million dollar homes that are half on stilts, and the other half of the, you know, the stilt is in the sand on the beach. And you know, you look at that and you think, where are you coming from? Yes, beachfront property is nice. A home on the ocean, gorgeous. But don't you understand? Well, they do. After the storm blows in, knocks the stilts down, and everything is washed out and so forth. And we sit back and we think, you know, if you were not smart enough to where you did that, I mean, it's almost like you're asking for problems. But some of those houses stand for a long time. A long time. So now here we are in the body of Christ. We've got houses that have been built, and they look great. If you just drive by and look at these houses, they look incredible. They look strong. They look like they're going to make it. They've weathered some storms before. But Jesus says there is a storm coming, and this storm is going to blast both houses. And only the ones that are built on my sayings are the ones that are going to stand. I'm telling you what's going to happen. More and more goofy doctrine is going to be coming in. More and more winds of doctrine are going to be blowing into the body of Christ. Along with all of the political instability in the world. In case you haven't noticed, all kinds of stuff is happening now. We are living in a time when more things are happening than we've ever seen in the history of humanity. Ever. The economic stuff, the wars and rumors of wars, just all kinds of stuff is happening. A storm is building. And you know, on television, they show you the Doppler radar, or whatever it is, you know, and, well, you can see the winds, they're gathering, and we expect this to come down here, and they say, and these winds to build up, blah, blah, blah. Hey, listen, the Holy Spirit is your spiritual weatherman. He can tell you how the storms are building. He can warn you ahead of time the direction that they're coming from. Didn't Jesus say He'd show you things to come? He can prepare you. But the thing is, if you leave Him out of this equation, you can't be fully prepared. And you can't come to the place of comprehending the fullness of all Scripture. And understanding the fullness of Scripture is a part of building your house on this rock. We are living in a time where the storm is coming. It's building, it's coming, and it's going to blast all the houses. And you're going to see a lot of Christians, their belief systems are going to crumble under their feet. Things that they had trusted, things they had believed in, are suddenly going to appear unto them as having no value whatsoever. You know who's going to have to be there to help them? The people with the house on the rock. When the storm, in the natural, when a storm blasts one person's house and the neighbor's house is standing, where are they going to run? To the neighbor's house. And hopefully the neighbors aren't goofy and they'll let them come in. Same thing in the realm of the Spirit. I'm telling you, the storm is building and it's coming. For us, we have got to make sure our house is built on the rock. If part of Scripture talks about reading and meditating in the Word, we need to do that. If part of Scripture talks about praying in tongues, we need to do that. What we see in this book is the foundation for everything that we're supposed to believe. And if somebody comes along and says, hey, listen, I just went down to the service over here. Here's what they were teaching, etc. and so forth. Sounds good, maybe, but it's not in the Word. You have no part in it. And if you're not sure, you do what David wrote over there in Psalm 27. Teach me your way, Lord. Show me your path plainly. So that when I begin walking, it's the path you've set before me, not the near identical paths of deception that the enemy has laid out for me. Help me know the difference. And the Holy Spirit says, I can do that. I can do that. So I just wanted to share all this with you tonight to let you know more and more stuff is being cut loose by the devil into the body of Christ, let alone the world. And some of it is going to sound so good. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Don't be led astray. Build your house on this rock, and you're going to stand when that storm comes. Hallelujah.